Nachiomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Perek Kuf Yud Dalid, Chapter 114. This is read by Binny Marilis. Chapter 114, in the second of the Perekim that we know as Hallel, very famously is the chapter of Pitzeis Yisrael, has a multitude of layers and abilities of understanding and ways of establishing what was going on. What we've done in the past, and what we continue to maintain, is a very crucial aspect to understanding text, particularly text of a poetic nature. It's very crucial to understand where the breaks are and where the subdivisions exist within a text. And in this text of 8 verses, it can be fairly easy to establish it as 2 sets of 2. And that would provide us with a very nice breakdown. And what you would come up with is a setting, is a reaction, is a question, and then a response. And what that means is, as we'll see, is the idea that you have the setting of the psalm, and the setting of the story of this psalm, which we would classically understand to be immediately following Mitzrayim, then nature's response, what happens in nature, classically understood at Yam Suf, questioning why nature acted in the way that it does, or reacted in the way that it did, and then nature's response, and a very interesting approach. Almost like a conversation is taking place in the immediate aftermath of, let's say, Kriyas Yamsuf, the crossing of the sea, an analysis and understanding as to why nature did what it did, or taking into account the fact that the Yarden is brought in, to the same thing as to why the Yarden does what it does, providing us with a beautiful answer about the nature and presence of God in the world, the power of God in the world, the ability of God in the world, and our appreciation of God in that world. I'll share with you to the beginning the Malbim. At the same time, I'd like to mention that the chapters of Hallel that we're dealing with have some very beautiful essays written by one of our Nachiyomi teachers, Rabbi Yitzet Shalom, I believe it's on his website as well as on Torah.org. You can find some of his writings, some of his articles on these chapters. They're fantastic analyses of our Prakim, as well as some of the other Prakim we dealt with earlier. And particularly in Kuf Yud Dalet, he brings in two very interesting contemporary analyses of this Mizmor that shed incredible light on what's going on internally to the text, and allow us to have a variety of different understandings as to what is going on in our Mizmor. So I encourage you to look those articles up, to find them, to read them, and to learn them, and to get a very beautiful, an additional beautiful level understanding on what's going on here. Begin with a Malbim. As I mentioned in yesterday's Perek, the Malbim takes our sections in these chapters and breaks them up differently and puts the section breaks in different places. But he does begin Section 2 of his 5-part in Hallel, at the beginning of Perek Kuf Yud Dalet. In his understanding, this happens to go all the way, Section 2 for him, goes all the way through the beginning of verse 3 in the next Mizmor, Velokeinu Bashamayim Kol Hashecha Veitzasa, beyond the scope of now. But he says as follows, it says, this Mizmor Yisapir will teach us, will tell us, Ki ha-hashgacha ha-pratis hazos, that this idea of personal divine providence that was discussed in Kuf Yud Gimel, Hizchil bi Yisrael me'esh yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, begins with the people from the moment they leave Mitzrayim. Shemeoz hiflam Hashem lechelko v'yatzu mehanhagas ha-me'areches, when was that Hashem essentially separated them, to be his, and that they have left the normal, classic path in the world, but became uniquely God's, and under his providence, whether it's through the nature, or rather it's more correctly here, through miracle and wonder. Ad shera'u kulam shehashem mashgiach ba'olam, until the point where they all realized and understood that Hashem is the providence in the world. So he says, al pizeh Yisra'im, shagam sha'ata ein anavu'im laza al pima asenu, even as the case that we are not deserving of our own merit and our own actions to have this level of providence. Lama lo yaseh bavur shemo hagadol, why not do it for the sake of his own name, shlo yechilul Hashem, so won't be, that his name will not be nullified and belittled in the world. That we'll get to in Kuf Tesvav in 115, the idea of the Chilul Hashem, perhaps, and destruction of the Jewish people. So he says that B'tzeis Yitzhah Mitzrayim. Here we're going to get our divine providence, our relationship. Notice as well, some very interesting language. B'tzeis Yitzhah Mitzrayim, and this comes somewhat from Rabbi Yechalim's article, but just simply reading the text. What's the timing of verse 1? It's B'tzeis Yitzhah Mitzrayim. When the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they left on their own. When the Jewish people left, they didn't leave on their own. We know that they didn't leave on their own. So, like, what's going on? What's the context of their leaving? Beis Yaakov me'am lo'eis. Me'am lo'eis. What does that mean from a strange language? It's an interesting word. You have Yisrael in the text. You have Beis Yaakov in the text. You have Mitzrayim. You have me'am lo'eis. Is Mitzrayim the me'am lo'eis? How does that work? And then in verse 2, Ha'isa Yehuda l'kadosho. Yehuda became this sort of Kadosh, Yisrael Mamshalosav, and then Yisrael became his Memshala. So you have in the first text you have Yisrael and Yaakov, in the second one you have Yehuda and Yisrael. There's a lot going on. All in all, it's clearly the setting for which our Mizmah takes place. It's at the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim. People, Jewish people leave, they're leaving Mitzrayim. They leave this land of Me'am Lo'eis. Beautiful and very interesting radak here at the beginning. It says like this. What is Lo'eis? Midaber b'lashon acheres she'eino lashon ivri. They speak another language that is not the language of the Hebrews. Klomar, to say, yatzu mi'am shelo hayu mivinim lashonam. They left from a nation that did not understand their language. So afa pisha e efshar, even though it's not possible, shaloh hayum mivinim lishonam, it's not possible that nobody understood their language, shahare hayu beneim kama shanim, that they were amongst them for many, many years. Efshar shiktosam hayum mivinim osam, shahayu omdim beneim, vayu av odim bohem, possible that some of them understood the language of the Mitzrim, vayu bohem shalu yetsumi mekomam, shahayu miyuchad lahem, whoever it's Goshen. Says the Radak that in their own land, in their own place, in Goshen, they spoke Lashon Ivri, they spoke Hebrew. But it's clear that they were connected to the Mitzrim in some way, they had to understand them. So he says, Afilu Osam Shahayu Yotzin Beinehem, right, when they would go out into the world, let's say, into the world of the Mitzrim, Hayu Midarim Lashon Mitzri Bechrech, they would be forced to speak the language. Of Abeinam Leveinam, amongst themselves, they would speak their own language. And Hashem took them out of the need to speak the other language and kept them focused on who they were and what their language is, sort of plucking them out of this sort of world and putting them into their own sort of a solitary state as the Jewish people with their own language in their own place. So it's a very, very unique level of hashgacha, of providence, that exists for the Jewish people. So we have a setting, right? When the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Ha'isa Yehuda l'kadosho Yisrael mamshalosav. Ha'isa Yehuda l'kadosho Yisrael mamshalosav. So what is that? What is our understanding there? So there, you get the idea, as the Ibn Ezra tells us, and as do other commentaries, Memshelas Kohanim. Yisrael Mamshalosav is the notion of them being a Memshelas Kohanim, a gathering, a dominion of priests, almost like the political arena. And when it says Yehuda Lekodsho, that's Goy Kadosh. The idea that Hashem tells us that we are Mamlechas Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh and Am Segula, His chosen people, is not so subtly hinted at in our text here. Yehuda is the sense of Kedusha, Yisrael is the sense of Memshalah. When Yaakov Avinu gives given the name Yisrael, it's the sense that he is a power, he is a force. You could say that that's more of a political understanding or of a power idea. Whereas Yehuda is the sense of the holiness factor, of the Kedusha factor. Yehuda leads them out, Yehuda leads the charge, as Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Sota, Mikra Zeh Haisa Yehuda Lekodsho. What does that mean? Shekafatz Nachshon Lesoch Hayom, that Nachshon, who we know Nachshon Ben Aminadav, Aharon's brother-in-law, was from Shevi Yehuda, he jumped into the water first, right? But Amar Ani Erei Tchil, I'm going to go first. Zeh Shema Haisa Yehuda Lekodsho. Yehuda became sanctuary, became holiness, embodiment of holiness by virtue, in that case, of full-on belief in Emunah and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do for them, taking a lead position, doing it, and acting in a certain way. Yisrael Mamshalosav. So we have a setting. So Davar Rishon is the setting. What happens next? So the way we always understand it, Hayam Ra'av Ayanos, the sea saw and fled. Hayardein Yisav Liachar, the Jordan turned backwards. Let's go verse 4 and we'll come back in a moment. Heharim, the mountains rakdu ke'elim, the mountains skipped like rams. Givaos kivnetzon, and the hills like young sheep. Looking at the text, you'll notice something very interesting. The first half of each of these texts is larger than the second half, meaning the object itself is bigger, and the action of that object is a bigger action. Take the first one. Hayam Ra'ava Yanos. Yam is a sea. It's larger than a Yarden, which is a river. The Yam's reaction is fleeing. The Yarden's reaction is going backwards. It's a lessened action, for lack of a better term. It's smaller. Take the second one. You have Harim, it's mountains. Givaos are not mountains. Givaos are hills. Rakdu ke'elim, rams, are bigger than Bnei Tzon, like young sheep. So it's a very interesting sort of structure to the nature's response in what was, from larger to small. Perhaps we'll get to that with a greater understanding in a few moments. But nature's response is a sense of diminishment, of removal, of clearing of space. And the presence of the Jewish people, the presence of the people of Hashem, Am HaNivchar, nature retreats, almost in a sense of awe, but nature retreats. And then verses 5 and 6 are the questions. Why does nature retreat? Why does nature do that? Why are you retreating in such a way? What is bringing you to do such a thing? Explain it. It's almost a setup, but it sets it very nicely. Malacha hayom kisanus. Sea. The sea. Why are you fleeing? Hayardein tisav liachor. Jordan, river. Why are you flowing backwards? Why are you turning backwards? Heharim. Tirkidu cheilim. Mountains. Why are you skipping like rams? Givaos kivnetzon. Hills. Smaller mountains. Why are you behaving like young sheep? What's going on? Explain your actions. Nature's then responding in verse 7 and 8. So you have this very interesting conversation, dialogue going on between the parties. You have the questioner, whoever that may be, and you have nature's response to the questioner. Why are we retreating? Why are we going backwards? Let me tell you in verses 7 and 8. Milifnei Adon Chuli Aretz, from the presence of the Master, the Creator of the land. Chuli Aretz will say it's the trembling of the land. That's why the land trembles. Milifnei Elohai Yaakov, the presence of the God of Jacob. Ha'ofchi Atzura Gamayim, he can turn stone into water. Chalamish L'mayinu Mayim, flint rock into fountains of waters, into springs of waters. What do you mean, why? We're fleeing from Hashem. The awesome presence of God in our world, and His interaction with us, and His manipulation or His ability to use nature for the purposes that are needed, perhaps in some cases miraculous reasons. How could we not retreat? Of course we retreat. The presence of God diminishes our power in the world. It diminishes our ability to function in the world. Interestingly, the Sfarno, in his understanding of the text, uses some of the terminology in the vision of nature, of mountains and hills and rivers, to be metaphors for nations. Harim, he says, is Malche Ha'umos. The mountains are the kings of the other nations. And Raktu means that they're shaking out of fear. The Yardain is Umos, is the nations of the world, their leaders and their kings. Why are you retreating? Says the Svarno. Malachem, what's going on? Kim lam amnam lo becherev lo bechanis, Yoshia Hashem es Yisrael. It's not with a sword. It's not with a knife. See, the answer. What do you mean? It's the God of the Jews. It's the God of the world. We're fearful. He's able to turn rocks into water. We've seen it happen. He's able to turn water into rock. He's able to turn desert into sea and sea into desert. Of course. He's Adon HaAdonim. He's the King of Kings, the Master of Masters. Of course we're afraid. How could we not be afraid? How could we not retreat? How could we not step back? Of course. Simply makes perfect sense. To share with you one idea that comes from Rabbi Yechalom in this article. It's very powerful, very interesting, perhaps beyond the scope of what we're trying to accomplish. It's sort of a different approach. It's an understanding that what exactly is going on here is bigger than just the moment at Kriyas Yamsuf, but rather that we are discussing here the entire covenantal relationship of the Jewish people. The entire connection between God and the Jewish people that is not simply about Kriyas Yamsuf, but rather is about Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah and Chet HaEgel and all the other things that go on in the Midbar, and the ebb and flow of our relationship and the up and down of our relationship, the good and the bad. And that what happens here, I'll quote to you from the line. Rabbi Yechalom is quoting from the analysis of a Professor Meir Weiss Zal. Professor Weiss was a professor of Tanakh at Bar Ilan University. And his understanding of this Mizmer is the following. That the choice of Yisrael was a revolution in creation. That the choice of Bnei Yisrael caused an upheaval in the Briyas HaOlam. By virtue of the Jewish people being selected as the people of God to lead the world as by example through their actions and through their interactions and through the way they worship and serve, that was a revolution in the world. Because until that point, it wasn't that way. And once it happens, it changes everything. The entire world changes. The relationship of the nations to each other changes. The nature of the relationship between the physical world and the human world, meaning the physical natural world and the human world, and that to the supernatural world, to the spirit world, changes. And therefore, that's expressed by the retreating of the seas and the fear, like the animals in the mountains. The sense that everything is now different, and the relationship of everything in the world shifts, And thus, you have a very interesting idea in terms of what Hallel is about, what's going on in Hallel. It's a sense that now, you've talked about the idea of providence in 113, and now and how God interacts to the smallest level of people. And now you have the national idea that's going on. And then we'll continue with the rest of it as you go forward into Perek Kuf Tesvav 115 tomorrow.